We want our children to have the best chance to live fulfilling lives, but can you keep up with all the books and scientific research on parenting and fit the information into your own philosophy on how to raise kids? Welcome to Your Parenting Mojo, the podcast that does the work for you by investigating and examining respectful, research-based parenting tools to help kids thrive. Now welcome your host, Jen Lumenlund.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Your Parenting Mojo, which is called Why Doesn't My Toddler Share Anything? Imagine this. You're sitting with your toddler son or daughter at a playground on a Saturday afternoon, and there are a lot of people around. You're sitting on a bench while your child plays in the sandpit, where several other children are playing as well. You're kind of half paying attention while you catch up with some texts on your phone. When you hear a scream, and you look up and see a child you don't know clutching tightly onto the spade your child was just playing with a few minutes earlier, and your child is about to burst into tears. Or maybe this, you're at the playground on a Saturday afternoon and your child is in the sandpit, but when you hear the scream, you look up to see your child holding the spade, and a child you don't know has clearly just had it removed from his possession. What do you do? I find a host of conflicting emotions circle me in these kinds of moments. I want my daughter, who just turned 2, to understand the value of sharing and to proactively engage in sharing behavior as well. And I want other kids to engage in that behavior with her too. But more than that, even I don't want my child to be perceived, mostly by the other child's parent, I suppose, as an aggressor. Yet I've read that children are mentally incapable of understanding sharing until rather later than age 2. So what do I do? Do I jump in and remove the spade from my daughter's hands and give it back to the other child? Do I sit on my bench and let them sort it out for themselves and risk the other parent stepping in and perhaps socially shaming my daughter or maybe even me? Some cultures take what I would call drastic steps to promote sharing behavior. In David Lancey's book, The Anthropology of Childhood, I read that the Papel people in Guinea-Bissau give something desirable like a snack to infants and then tell the infant to pass on the snack to a sibling. The Goni people of Southeast Central Africa force children to donate prized resources to peers and tell proverbs lauding generosity and condemning meanness, both direct and indirect encouragement. And that training inculcates the importance of sharing behavior in young children and helps the children seem more attractive to substitute caretakers, which lessens the burden on the mother as well. One can only imagine what's going through the minds of these youngsters as they're forced to donate their prized possessions. A key goal for Western parents is often to encourage spontaneous sharing behavior, and preferably even altruism, the idea that someone takes an action to benefit another, which has no benefit for himself. Anthropologists have noticed that a key socialization goal for Western parents is to ensure that their children are liked by others, and adults see sharing behavior as a key indicator of a child who will be liked. Although, interestingly, I actually couldn't find any studies showing that children prefer other children who share. I'm going to set aside the topic of altruism and helping behavior for now because there's a lot of research on that and I'd like to save it for a future episode. So for right now, I'll just focus on the concept of sharing behavior. Anyone who's been around more than one toddler knows that sharing is a fraught subject. Even children who will willingly help to clean up a mess or cooperate in getting ready to leave the house, which are considered to be other examples of pro-social behavior, are less likely to encourage in sharing behavior because sharing typically involves giving up something of value to somebody else. I read an anecdote, and unfortunately I can't remember the source now, of a toddler who said, "share," as he forcibly removed a toy from another child's hands, because he'd learned over time through adults removing toys from his own hands and saying "share" that to share means to give up the thing that you want. Younger children are especially reluctant to share. A recent experiment with 1 and 2-year-olds found that the children were much less likely to give up their blanket or a special toy brought from home to a hapless adult than they were under identical circumstances without having to sacrifice their own belongings. Very young children, aged 10 to 12 months, have been studied bringing toys to parents in apparent acts of sharing or offering food to parents, but the children might not have been acting in a truly pro-social way in the sense that behavior is intended to benefit another. They may instead be seeking a positive reaction or approval from adult, or perhaps it's part of how the two play together, or maybe even a way to keep a toy from a sibling. Some babies, after they start this sharing behavior, will later hold out something as if it's to be shared and then withdraw it. It's all part of their experimentation on social interactions to see what will happen if they do this. The concept of ownership is also really important in sharing. When do children understand that something belongs to them rather than to everybody or nobody? One study found that children as young as 18 months old resisted peers' attempts to take their toys. When the original possessor tried to regain the toy from the taker protested just as much as when somebody who had never played with the toy tried to take it, implying the children were reacting to the loss of something desirable rather than because they understand prior possession or ownership. By around age 2, children are usually able to articulate something about ownership. They can identify to whom items belong, and 2-year-olds will protest their own toys being taken away more than neutral toys. 2-year-olds might protest if their own belongings are taken, but don't yet recognize the injustice of someone else's belongings being taken, possibly because empathy is also a late developing skill. One study found that 24-month-olds shared toys and food significantly earlier in a series of cues than younger children, often within the first 5 seconds upon the playmate's sigh or forlorn look, and that's 4 times often as 18-month-olds. 24-month-olds shared without even being asked about 3/4 of the time, while 18-month-olds shared only about 1/4 of the time. 18-month-olds sometimes shared without being asked by a playmate, but almost never spontaneously, although they often shared if the playmate specifically requested it. 24-month-olds shared spontaneously more often than not and did so more quickly, often immediately when they recognized their playmate had no toys. The toddlers thus recognize when they and a partner have unequal resources and will share when the costs are minimal, for example, when there are other toys to play with. The experimenters theorize that younger toddlers may not understand when toddlers want to share toys. The toddlers in the experiment were playing with an adult experimenter who could clearly articulate his or her desire for the toys. And where this articulation occurred, the 18-month-olds were much more willing to share. If a toddler is unwilling or unable to vocalize his desire for a toy, then how can another be expected to share it? By 24 months, responsiveness to nonverbal requests becomes much more highly developed, but that requires the child playing with the toy to disengage from his own play and consider what the other child wants. So to share what's yours, you first have to understand it to be yours. My 2-year-old now does understand that my sunglasses are mine and also actually that I don't want her to play with them. I think she understands that her few special toys belong to her. And while I've heard her say, your shoes, she still mixes up her pronouns, so she means my shoes, when she's putting her shoes on, I've actually never heard her say it in a possessive way over a treasured belonging. Another key concept in sharing is related to time. Parents of toddlers know that toddlers live in the present. They only care about what's happening right now. So if someone else is playing with their toy right now, as far as they're concerned, the toy is gone for good. As their understanding of time develops and they can tell an absent parent what they did at the park today and can think, maybe with some encouragement, about what they will do after a nap, they can see another child holding their toy and imagine a time when they might get it back. Children also need to see themselves as individuals with thoughts and feelings separate from those of others before they can empathize and truly share. And this is something to keep in mind when your child goes through the sometimes interminable me, mine, I can do it myself stage. This development is necessary for them to understand that me is different from you and you have feelings too. Finally, they need some form of impulse control, the ability to wait and not just grab what they want. And that can be another late developing skill in many toddlers. Until children have all these skills, it isn't really possible for them to truly share. Just have a quick think right now. Can you remember when your child has exhibited each of these skills? So, your child understands ownership. Your child understands that things belong to her and belong to you. Your child has a clear understanding of time and the fact that things change over time. And they see themselves as individuals. And finally, they have some impulse control. They have some ability to wait and get what they want. If not, that's totally normal, and it explains why your child isn't really ready to share yet. As parents, we can model some of the actions related to sharing, like turn-taking. Karis often wants some of whatever I'm eating, so whenever I come out of the kitchen with a bowl in my hand, she says, "Want some? What is it?" Because she wants some of whatever I have before she even knows what it is. So when I'm making a snack of yogurt and berries, I put more in the bowl than I need so that we can share. And while she usually starts out by saying, "Want some, want some," after a couple of times where I take a spoonful and then offer her a spoonful, she gets into a rhythm of taking turns. At other times, she actually will offer me a grape out of her own bowl and say, "Sharing." While taking turns is an important action related to sharing, it isn't truly sharing until the child empathizes with me that I want a grape and then offers it to me. Karis has recognized sadness in herself and others for a while. She actually told me, baby sad when she heard a baby crying several weeks before she described it in herself by saying, "Karis sad." Another thing parents can do is keep a few special toys to be truly the child's own and not for sharing, especially with visitors in the child's own home. And that can help him to be more willing to share the toys he's less attached to. If this fails, try meeting with friends in neutral places like a park or a beach where there's lots of everything, like sticks and rocks and sand and seaweed, and nobody owns any of it. We might be tempted to reward sharing behavior by praising "good job" or something similar, but parents who value intrinsic motivation as a quality in children might consider avoiding this. Alfie Cohn, who's a former teacher turned theorist on parenting issues, has a really great book on this topic that I plan to delve into much more deeply in a later episode. But for now, I'll just point out a couple of the studies that he mentions. One study found that children who come to believe that their pro-social behavior reflects values or dispositions in themselves have internal structures that can generate behavior across settings and without external pressures. But by contrast, children who view their pro-social conduct as compliance with an external authority, for example, because a parent has told them to share or shamed them for not sharing or even praised them for sharing, will act pro-socially only when they believe external pressures are present. Another found that school children whose mothers relied on tangible rewards like stickers or toys were less likely than other children to share at home and were less likely to be helpful in a laboratory experiment. Finally, one study found that 4-year-olds who were frequently praised for pro-social acts were less likely over time to engage in them than children who didn't receive verbal reinforcement. The reward's about controlling behavior, and nobody, not even children, like to be controlled. We can also consider shaming a child into sharing, as some of the cultures we mentioned at the beginning of this episode do, and in some cultures this is perfectly accessible. Something along the lines of, "Be a good girl and share the truck with Johnny." Whereas what the girl hears is, "I'm not a good girl, you can't have that thing you want, and I'm going to make you give it to Johnny." Resources for infant educators, which is the respect-based parenting philosophy to which I mostly subscribe, has a way to approach this, to introduce the idea of considering the emotions of others without shaming the child who wants to hold onto the toy. So a parent might say, "Maria, you're playing with a truck, and Nate would like to play with it as well. When you're done with the truck, can you please let us know, because Nate's waiting." And so Maria might continue to play with the truck for some minutes, but quite often she will voluntarily offer the truck to Nate sooner than you might expect, because there's no pressure on her to share, and she was able to do it while saving face. And Nate can also be encouraged to develop his own impulse control. So the parent might say, "I know you want to play with the truck. Maria has it right now. It can be really hard to wait. When Maria has finished, you can have the truck. In the meantime, would you like to play with something else?" So when is all this likely to change? As long as children play alongside each other, like 2-year-olds tend to do, they don't have much motivation to share. As they approach 3 and are more interested in playing with each other, they suddenly have motivation to make and keep friends who also want to play with a given set of toys. And as the capacity for empathy develops, the children shift from sharing for their own benefit, so other children will continue to play with them, and toward sharing for more altruistic reasons. One study showed that 3-year-old children share most equally with a peer after they've worked together to obtain a reward in a task requiring their collaboration, even when one child could have monopolized the reward. I also want to acknowledge that a lot of the pressure we feel as parents around sharing comes not from the other child with whom we might want our child to share, but from the child's parents. I think we've all felt the evil eye from parents who think our child might be trampling on their child's needs. And one way we might consider approaching this is to quickly ask other parents, right as the situation begins to escalate, "Are you okay with letting them work this out by themselves?" People from some cultures might be fine with this and will let the children work it out even if they hit each other, which will likely get the message across quite effectively. Others will let the children try to sort it out but will block any attempt to hit. Some find sports casting quite helpful, so saying, without analyzing what's happening, "Maria had the toy and now Nate has it. Maria's crying." Without layering in, "Nate took the toy and now Maria is sad." This allows the children to begin to consider each other's feelings without the pressure of the adult's interpretation. If you need some more help with toddler sharing, I can highly recommend the booklet The Secret of Toddler Sharing: Why Sharing is Hard and How to Make it Easier by Elizabeth Crary. It's 36 pages, so very short, of strategies specifically on guiding toddlers towards sharing. And the author describes factors in children, such as their developmental stage, their temperament, and their experience with sharing and understanding emotions in other situations that lead to their awareness of pro-social behavior and how parents can help develop it. There are also 5 sharing strategies you can teach children, and these are asking for the things that you want, taking turns, waiting, trading, and dividing the items. Crary does say, though, that while asking is a socially acceptable strategy to get someone to share, an informal study, she doesn't say by whom, showed that asking for a toy was only effective about 7% of the time. So we need to be sure our children learn other strategies for the 93% of the time when asking for the toy doesn't work. And then for each strategy, Crary outlines how to use small steps to teach that strategy. So for example, she advises introducing taking turns by rolling a ball back and forth between parent and child, immediately at first, but with the parent introducing longer and then longer wait before rolling the ball back. Modeling turn taking with snacks, like I did, would be another thing to try. And Crary also describes challenges parents might have in implementing her strategies. For example, to get your child to trade a toy with a child who has something your child wants requires that your child figures out what the other child might want in exchange. And children aren't usually able to take the perspective of another person for several more years. But they can often remember toys the other child has used in the past, and you can help or scaffold this process by remembering aloud how the other child was playing with the train earlier and wondering if he might like to have the train again. Overall, I'd really highly recommend the booklet, but don't worry about remembering the title, just go and look for it with the other references from this episode on my website at yourparentingmojo.com. Go to episode 2, Why Doesn't My Toddler Share Anything, and you'll find everything listed right there. Thanks for listening. Next time, we'll be talking about how to encourage early literacy skills in children who aren't yet reading.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Your Parenting Mojo. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, and sign up for our mailing list at yourparentingmojo.com to receive a free gift, 7 relationship-based strategies to support your children's development while making parenting just a little bit easier on you. For more respectful, research-based parenting ideas to help kids thrive, we'll see you next time on Your Parenting Mojo.